Heavenly Father, we've just sung that Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. As we come to your word, may you remind us of that truth. And may you shape us to live in light of the fact that Jesus has paid it all. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, the remaining members of the Bali Nine have been on the news over the past week. If you remember the Bali Nine, they were nine Aussies in 2005, when I was in grade 12. They were caught in Bali. They were attempting to smuggle 8.3 kilos of heroin. That's $4 million worth, strapped to their bodies. They were caught. They were obviously found guilty. I mean, you can't get more guilty than drugs taped to your body. Two were killed by firing squad. One died in jail. One was given a good behavior bond. But over the past week, there was a lot of rejoicing because the five remaining members in jail in Indonesia, they've been transferred to an Australian prison to serve out their sentences on home soil. It's a complicated story. You see, while they haven't been pardoned or released early yet, there's rejoicing. It's been noted even by Albanese's Compassion. The five men have expressed immense gratitude over this news. And at the same time, many of us think, is this even right? Is this even justice? Well, if you think about the Bali Nine, you compare it to our predicament, you and I, before our great and holy God, we get an even bigger, an even better story than the Bali Nine. We don't get the ones guilty before God, released early, transferred to a prison on home ground. We get a story of guilty sinners set free, pardoned, fully acquitted, declared as righteous, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. And friends, it's a true story. It's a reality we live in because of Jesus, as we've just sung. And this is worth rejoicing in. This is worth seeing as the ultimate show of compassion and grace. This is worth expressing our utmost gratitude to God. And at the same time, it's worth questioning. How does this even work? Is justice really served here? If you've been following us through the past term, we've been going through big parts of the Bible in our series, The God Who's There. We started at the God who made everything out of nothing, God the Creator, moving to the God who doesn't wipe out rebels, the God who doesn't give up on a fallen people marred by sin. Over the past few weeks, we've been unpacking the center of God's story of salvation, the God who gives new birth, which the Rindu unpacked from John 3. The God who loves, which Tim unpacked during our carols night. Last week we unpacked the God who dies and lives again. And today we continue to unpack the center of God's story of salvation, what the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus mean for each of us here today. And if you want a summary of today's message, it's this. In Jesus, God declares the guilty just. He declares sinners as forgiven. He declares rebels as righteous. And this is the central message of God in the Bible. This is what we call the gospel, the good news. This is the message of life. This is what Jesus came to accomplish, the God who declares the guilty as just. And this topic today unpacks our first church value of being gospel-centered, that we believe God's work in the world and his word is not random, but it's one big story. It centers around saving a sinful people for himself. It's a message of good news, of life instead of death, of salvation instead of judgment, the guilty just, the fallen redeemed, sins forgiven, looking forward to eternal life in a right relationship with the Creator God. And we're going to unpack this passage in Romans today to see this story that's worth rejoicing in, to see God's compassion, to see how exactly guilty sinners are pardoned, to see why we should express our utmost gratitude to God. We're going to see the God who declares the guilty as just. And to begin this morning, we need to get ourselves in Paul's thinking and his logic. And in the first part of Romans, if you have your Bibles opened, in Romans 1 to 3, Paul's been answering the question, who is righteous? Who's righteous? Who's perfect? Who's lived without sinning, without rebelling against the Creator God? Do you feel righteous? And Paul's answer, our answer, is no. I'm not righteous on my own. We've all done wrong. We've all sinned. We've all rejected God at some point in our lives. So our outlook, our prospect for the future, our thoughts about that final day of judgment as it stands on our own by ourselves, it's bleak. It's grim. We face the consequences of our own sin, our own rejection of God, and it's death. It's eternity without God. You see, we're in a worse predicament than the Bali Nine members, guilty against the Creator God, facing death row of eternity. And it's in this background that Paul begins in chapter 3, verse 21. That's why we call this message good news, because it was originally bad news. And today's passage is a passage that Martin Luther calls the chief point, the very central place of the epistle and of the whole Bible. He's saying that this is the heart of Romans. It's the heart of God's word. In fact, it's the heart of God's story in history. Have a look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. You see, amidst our failure to be righteous before God, amidst our sin and our bleak outlook, Paul, he announces that there's a new way to be right with God, a new way to life, a new way to be counted as righteous by God, to be seen by God and as sinless, as perfect and holy, justified before God, just as if I've never sinned. Good news for a sinful people under bad news. You see, this new way to be right with God, it's not through the law. It's clear that no one can keep the law. No one's perfect. It won't lead to righteousness. But Paul here says he doesn't want to throw away the Old Testament either. He says the law does point to it. The prophets do look forward to it. You see, the Old Testament, it points to this new way to be right with God. Whether it's the promises to Abraham, the Exodus, the sacrifices, the offerings and blood, the priesthood, the kingship, the covenant, while those things in itself don't save, in God's big story, all of these things do point to this new way to be right with God. You see, amidst our sin and our bleak outlook and our broken relationship with our Creator and Ruler, there's good news. There's a new way to be right with God. God isn't this distant creator. The Bible isn't a neutral book. It's not just about morals and good things. God's got good news for a sinful people. But as we keep going, what is this new way to be right with God? What is this good news? I know most of you know this, but we always need reminding, don't we? That this good news, this new way to be right with God, to mend the broken relationship with God caused by our sin, it's found in Jesus. Righteousness is found in Jesus. And that's where Paul moves to next in verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You see, the new way to be counted righteous before God, to obtain the righteousness of God, or in other words, to be declared by God as righteous, sinless, perfect, and holy, to be declared just, which is what justified means, to be in a right relationship with God. This is now made available through faith. Trusting in, relying on none other than Jesus Christ as people put their trust in him. Paul, he goes on to summarize the state of play. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He says we're all guilty sinners. He said it all along in chapter 1 and 2, but he says it again. We're no hopers, all of us, old, young, male, female, we've all sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. We all fall short of God's perfect holiness and goodness. We all fall short of God's righteousness. We all fall short. The law doesn't save us. Our works don't save us. We're guilty sinners facing death on our own. But verse 24, if you have a look, shows the game-changing good news. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, we sinners facing death, we're justified. The Greek word is actually pronounced as righteous, to be counted or declared as righteous. It's a legal ruling. And this declaring as righteous business, it's a gift. It's free. It's God's grace at work. It's none of our doing or deserving. And it's been achieved through the redemption, the ransom, the payment. This word was used in the context of redeeming prisoners of war, slaves, and condemned criminals. You see, a price has been paid for the penalty of our sins, for our rescue from death. And this redemption has been made in the person of Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Jesus is in the center of this redeeming work. He's the one who paves the way for sinful humans to be pronounced as righteous. You see, God's got good news for a sinful people. He's got good news for a guilty people, for a people facing death and judgment, that as they believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus. We're declared as righteous, right with God, pronounced a legal ruling as just, sinless, perfect, and holy in Jesus. righteousness is found nowhere else but in Jesus. Maybe it sounds too good to be true. Do nothing, believe in Jesus, free righteousness. It's like when you get those emails that there's $2 million that you've inherited from a Nigerian prince. Click this link and receive your money. Or when you hear those ads, get this phone absolutely free when you sign up to one of our plans. Thanks, Liam. Get this car for $0 when you sign up for this pay later agreement. And there's all these hidden terms and conditions that bite you later. Maybe you're skeptical about this righteousness in Jesus thing. And it's right to investigate, to know how it works, to see if it's as good as it sounds. And Paul, he's got nothing to hide. God's got nothing to hide. So Paul goes on and he shows how this righteousness comes about in Jesus. Verse 25. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. How does Jesus achieve this redemption of verse 24? How has God's righteousness been secured? How does all of this work? Does this work? Well, it begins with God putting Jesus forward as a propitiation by his blood. Propitiation is an old word. The NIV translates it as sacrifice of atonement. And it means to appease someone, to satisfy someone. In this case, to appease or to satisfy God's anger or judgment over sin. And Paul says here, Christ, his blood, his sacrifice, his death on the cross, that's where propitiation happens. That's where appeasing God's anger happens. That's where satisfying God's judgment, atonement for our sins, that's where it all happens in Jesus on the cross. Because sin doesn't magically get forgotten. Instead, it gets dealt with in full, 100%. Jesus paid it all. It's been appeased in all of its entirety. And it's been all paid in Jesus as he died, spilled his blood to atone, propitiate, appease, to satisfy God's judgment of our sin, the penalty that we rightly deserve. You see, this atoning, this propitiating work, it all happens in Jesus at the cross. And we receive and are beneficiaries of this by faith as we believe in Jesus. Paul, he keeps going to unpack this. He says, this was to show God's righteousness because in his forbearance, his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. See, God doesn't let sin off the hook. That would be too good to be true, wouldn't it? You see, Jesus spilling his blood on the cross, it shows God's righteous character, his holiness, his perfection. He deals with sin. It's paid for. God's just judgment for sin is satisfied, and it's done at the cross when Jesus spilled his blood for us. And verse 26 ends by saying, it was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You see, the cross, it shows God's righteousness in two ways. It first shows that God is just, he's righteous. He doesn't let sin off the hook. His judgment of sin is directed at his own perfect God-man son, Jesus. God's wrath is satisfied. God is just. And second, that God is the justifier. He justifies. He declares sinners as righteous. Sinful humans like you and me who have faith in Jesus, who trust in Jesus, who believe in Jesus, who are united to Jesus in this great exchange. God, he declares us as righteous, as Jesus paid the penalty of our sin on the cross. You see, righteousness is found at the cross of Jesus. Good news, the gospel, God's salvation being declared as righteous. All of these, they're not found anywhere else. They're found on the cross of Calvary. As Jesus died in our place, spilled his blood so that we might live and truly live as righteous, holy, perfect, just as if we'd never sinned. Righteousness is found at the cross of Jesus. As we've been going through this series, we've been covering truths that we need to be clear about. God the Creator, God who doesn't wipe out rebels, the God who gives new birth, and all of the others. And today, God wants us to be clear on the truths about the good news of Jesus, about salvation and this good news and how it all works. And it's this: God declares the guilty as just. He offers a new way for hopeless and dead sinners to be right with God, to have life forever with God, to have sins forgiven. And it's found in Jesus and specifically at the cross. And we see this clearly, don't we, in Romans chapter 3. And now we're going to end our time this morning applying God's word. And I've got three steps that I think flow out of this passage. And the first is this: feel the weight of your guilt without Jesus. Feel the weight of your guilt without Jesus. Whether it's your first time or thousandth time, reflecting on what the cross of Jesus means for you. To hear the good news that we're justified, that we're set free and pardoned. You see, we need to hear and feel the weight of the bad news first. The weight of our guilt without Jesus. And we're guilty. We're sinners. We've rebelled against the Creator God. So I heard recently, if you sin three times a day, and that's underestimating our sinful hearts, and you've been a Christian for 50 years, that's about 50,000 sins against God. It's quite a lot, isn't it? But sin isn't really about a number, is it? If it is, actually one is enough. Sin is about the posture of your heart. And for all of us since Adam, we're wired against God. We're wired towards ourselves. We're rebels rejecting God, worshipping ourselves instead of God, the Creator and ruler. And the weight, the fate of our guilt on our own is this: it's death. It's worse than the Bali Nine members. It's eternal death, separation from God. It's a blackness, a punishment, a judgment, and anguish that lasts forever. If you think the Bali Nine members don't deserve to be flown back home, then even more so, think about whether you deserve anything before God. You're a convicted sinner facing death. Feel the weight of your guilt without Jesus. And it's only now, after feeling the weight of your guilt, that you can truly understand what it means to be pardoned, to be set free, to be made righteous and just, not by our own doing, but in Jesus and only Jesus. And that brings us to our second thing today, to feel the joy of your justification in Jesus. What did the five members of the Bali Nine feel when they landed on Australian soil? Well, the news articles say relief, happiness, hope for the future, gratefulness, and joy. What does it mean for you to be a guilty sinner who's had an even bigger change? To be justified, to be made righteous, to be set free just as if you've never sinned, because of the blood of Jesus satisfying your sins on the cross. I think all of those things apply in an even bigger way. Relief that you were once facing the firing squad of God's judgment, and now you're set free and alive. Relief. Happiness and hope for the future. Your future outlook is not black, but is now bright in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's Son. Gratitude, gratefulness. Someone saved you. It's not your own doing. You didn't deserve it. So you live in lifelong gratitude to the one who saved you, and that's Jesus. And I think the best word to sum up our feelings of being justified in Jesus, it's joy. It's rejoicing. Because friends, if you think about it, in Jesus, we're guilty sinners who've been justified. In Jesus, we're unrighteous rebels who've been made righteous. In Jesus, we're people with a death penalty who've been set free. In Jesus, we're dead ducks made alive. So let this newfound reality in Jesus cause you to rejoice in Him, to rejoice in new life, to rejoice in the Lord of our salvation always. Don't know about you, but this year I've seen that the Grinch is the big theme of Christmas. He's the green monster who sucks the joy out of Christmas. I'm the Grinch in our household. But I think it's easy for us to be Grinches of Christianity, to lose the joy of sinners being set free, to suck the joy out of our salvation, both for ourselves and for others. And we can get there in many different ways. We might not truly understand the magnificence of this reality of guilty sinners being made righteous. We can get bored of this amazing reality of guilty sinners made righteous. And we can let the busyness of life push this amazing reality of guilty sinners made righteous to the peripherals. So wherever you're at today, feel the weight of your guilt without Jesus. And after this, feel the joy of your justification in Jesus. He's set you free. He's acquitted you. He's made you just and righteous in white robes of Jesus. the penalty has been paid for in Jesus. That future of death and judgment has changed to life forever. You've been justified in Jesus. Know and feel the joy of your salvation. And once that joy in Jesus has welled up in your heart, the final thing, the final step for today is to let that joy overflow. To let that joy of having new life, instead of being guilty, facing death, put a spring in your step that affects and infects everything you do, that overflows into all of life. How does the joy of new life in Jesus overflow into who you talk to at morning tea, and what you do and what you talk about? How does the joy of new life in Jesus overflow into how you talk to your family and your friends as you meet for Christmas meals? How does the joy of new life in Jesus overflow into how you respond to that annoying thing that's going to happen over the coming week? How does the joy of new life in Jesus overflow into how you spend your time over the Christmas break? How does the joy of new life in Jesus overflow into your health situation, your work situation, your family situation, your financial situation? How does the joy of new life in Jesus overflow into how you think about your non-believing family and friends over Christmas? How does the joy of new life in Jesus overflow into every nook and cranny and decision and discussion that happens in your coming week? Well, as we finish this morning, let me encourage you today to feel the weight of your guilt without Jesus, then to feel the joy of your justification in Jesus, because you have new life in Him, life forever instead of death. And to let that joy overflow, to let the joy of salvation and life that you have and hold in Jesus, to let it saturate, captivate, and invigorate all parts of your life. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. He's come in Jesus, in His work on the cross. God declares guilty sinners as righteous and just. Let's pray in thankfulness to God. Father God, grow our joy in You today as we're convicted yet again of the great exchange in Jesus, that He took our sins on Himself as He died on the cross, paying the penalty in our place that we deserved, allowing You to declare guilty sinners like us as righteous and free and acquitted and just in the saving work of Jesus. Grow our joy in You in light of this. May Your Spirit grow joy in our hearts, and let that joy overflow into all we do and say as we live out that freedom of being sinners who've been pardoned and set free in Jesus, who paid it all. In His name we pray. Amen.